say, hello, listeners. You're tuned in to another episode of Last Night I Watched. I'm your host, the Marvel Fiend, and I am here with a special guest, Mr. Easy.
Yo, yo, yo.
Today's episode, we'll be discussing the 2004 travesty known as Soul Plane.
It was 2004?
2004, directed by Jesse Taro, written by Bo Zynga and Chuck Wilson.
Nice.
I'm sure this is their best work. never heard of these niggas before. So, when do you remember the first time you seen this movie?
Well, funny story. The first time I went to go see this movie, I was with my mom and my stepdad. Very religious people.
They talk about awkward.
Yes. We walked out within the first 5 minutes.
We got his ass stuck on the fucking toilet.
I don't even know if we made it that far, right? Cause seeing it again, it looked kind of unfamiliar to me. But I don't know. Maybe it's because it's been so long. But shit,
I think I saw it again, like Blockbuster wise or whatever the fuck, some type of rental. I know. I'm pretty sure I didn't see this in the theater. But
yeah,
it's a motherfucker.
To say the least.
To do a quick summary, the movie is about Kevin Hart's Nashawn Wade. He has an incident in a plane, comes into some money, and starts his own airline service. And
that's just what I was wondering. What is the movie about?
The plane ride? The first plane ride. And things go wrong, as they do. It's like Black Airplane. the black version of Airplane from the 80s.
Hilarity ensues.
Do a quick rundown of some characters. We have Kevin Hart, Method Man, K.D. Albert, Method Man, Tom Arnold, Ryan Pinkston, Godfrey, D.L. Hughley, say Snoop Dogg, to say the least, John Witherspoon for a couple scenes, Monique.
Who was your favorite actor in the movie?
See, usually I always have one, right? I usually always have a favorite actor. I'm like, well, at least he was cool. Maybe Snoop Dogg? I think maybe.
My favorite was Godfrey.
Godfrey,
because he was a pre Michael Blackson. Michael Blackson.
Yeah, he was doing his best Michael Blackson impression
before we got him. Well, I don't know when he came on the scene, but I feel like it was after Soul Plane.
He might have gotten bigger. I think Next Friday was the first time I saw Michael Blackson in this.
Maybe so.
That mother sucker.
Because I could have swore he dropped a mother sucker somewhere in the movie. Like,
I bet he did. I was like, I can use all of this. Nobody knows who Michael Blackson is yet? Okay, let me...
Oh, shit. I almost spit out my drink.
Let me use all his jokes. Okay, let's go through the scene by scene shortly, or quickly, I should say. We start off with him running through this airport, this post 9/11 airport. He's carrying his dog in his hand and just running through the airport, trying to get to his plane. He can't put his dog on the plane.
Was that before or after the flashback?
Oh, did it start with the flashback? Oh, when he's talking to him?
I think it opened with him telling the audience.
Oh, yeah, like he wanted to be a...
Wanted to be a pilot? I don't think so.
He always wanted to do something.
To leave.
Yeah, he wanted to...
to leave living under an airport.
Okay, he wanted to leave the theater of it. Leave the set of the movie.
Because he just told like this traumatizing story of his mom trying to dry clothes and he's a baby and airplanes fly with his feet.
Totally live close to the airport. That motherfucker flew right over their goddamn backyard.
Like the landing gear was damn near touching the house.
Yeah. They would have jumped up. Would have got hit by the wheel. Okay, you're right. So now we cut to him going through the airport with this dog. Not a huge dog, but a he's trying to bring it on the plane with him. It's too big to be bored to just sit down in the fucking plane with him.
It's a mini pen.
A mini penny. So the stewardess or whatever tell him he can't do it. They put this dog in a cage.
But the guy looked at the dog with the thick ass glasses and saw a giant Snoop Dogg video Doberman.
Oh, that's probably exactly what it was. Yeah, his thick ass glasses. I was like, oh no. You throw this fucker off the out the door. You hear it crash a little. Cut to him, he's in his seat. He was sniffing other people's food. He spit on the lady.
Oh my god.
These white people he's sitting around.
The worst. Okay, the passenger.
He's singing his little rap song.
Brat, 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 brat. Die, nigga, die.
Yeah. Oh, shit. So when he was ordering food, the lady, like, we have, what, stroganoff and, what, chicken or some shit?
Yeah.
Lady gets he gets the last stroganoff. This isn't stroganoff. We
back to the, I thought stroganoff was supposed to have like noodles.
It was like a noodle.
Like a beef. White sauce.
Yeah. It just looked like
a brown puddle.
Like a broth of some kind. a couple.
It was not a single noodle in it, bro.
No, not at all. And then some old stale bread. Looked horrible. Apparently he ate it. He liked it. Says it could use some hot sauce or something.
I'm mad he enjoyed it that much. Because it definitely be fucked his shit up. Like,
yeah. went through his stomach real quick.
It had to be like a laxative, bro. Like,
yeah, like some
coconut milk. Or like some just bad food. Because that shit, it affected him way too quickly.
Too quickly. As soon as he was done, he had to take a shit. That's never happened. That's never happened. Okay, so. So he gets stuck on the toilet. He goes to the bathroom. I haven't been on many planes, but this was a very nice looking bathroom for this plane. Mm. Where this dude gets stuck in the. Why the turbulence started? I think because he was in the bathroom and the plane goes through turbulence. Everybody's ordered back to their seats, and while the lady is trying to press the seatbelt, fasten your seatbelt button. She hits the release cargo button.
Why these buttons are next to each other?
Yeah, who designed this plane? So
all probably the cargo, the same person who designed the Soul plane.
Okay, the same goddamn guy. While he's stuck on the toilet, he sees his dog Dre fly through the jet engine while his ass gets stuck in the toilet.
What were we doing in the late 90s, early 2000s to dogs?
Shit.
Like, why are we killing so many dogs in these movies?
Yeah. That's hilarious. I definitely didn't see that no animals were harmed, but we didn't watch the after credits. Screw all that shit. So, we see him saying he's going to sue after the plane lands. Cut to him in court. Where his lawyers get harassing him, calling him a deadbeat.
The worst court ever.
You're just a deadbeat who's looking for an easy payout, aren't you? His lawyer says nothing. His lawyer doesn't speak.
He does not speak the entire trial. I don't think he has a lawyer.
I don't think he has a line. It was some dude with a jerry curl sitting next to him.
Okay, God, I missed him.
Looking like old school, what's her name? Those 60s, 70s dude.
Al Sharpton. Oh, I thought you were going to say Little Richard.
No, looking like Al Sharpton.
Al Sharpton, that's not as good.
Yeah. So the jury buys his little bullshit sad story of, oh, I'm just trying out here. They award this man $100 million. Oh. Oh, trash all that. So the jury awards him $100 million. He starts his own airplane line, NWA. not sure what that means. What
niggas with attitude.
Niggas with airlines.
Nigga with an airline.
Nigga with an airplane.
with an airplane.
Nigga with an airplane.
Not an airline.
Yeah, he has one air.
Speaking of, how much does it cost to start an airline?
Yeah, not, like a plane, they said, go from 70 mil to about 100 mil. I looked it up. I looked it up on Google. This dude's not affording it.
Long story short.
Yeah, but that 100 mil, because he got the whole terminal. This nigga had a full Escalade souped out, just sitting in the middle. Got a basketball court, a Roscoe drinking the waffles, a Roscoe chicken and waffles.
And then, like, how much time passed between him getting this settlement and this entire airline being built?
Like, yeah, we have no idea.
How long does it take to build a giant CGI plane?
Yes, CGI purple plane. Jesus. We meet Tom Arnold. His last name's Honky for some reason. The writers thought that'd be funny if
it was like Huey or something.
Mr. Hunky.
No.
Because it's his family. Yeah, because the girl was like Claire Hunky or something, or Heather Hunky.
That is awful.
Awful. They tell him to go to 069 NWA Terminal X. Let's talk about his daughter being wanting to express herself sexually, to say the least.
The whole rundown of the Pornhub splash page.
Yeah, she just reads off porn categories to her dad in front of everybody, expecting it to be cool. So you talk about how ridiculous Terminal X is, with 99-cent stores and the basketball courts. It's all these TSA.
Who's playing a pickup game in the airport?
Who goes to an airport with basketball shorts and just shoot and just ball and shoes? I'm like, you know what? I don't need to. I'm not here to fly anywhere. I'm here because they got the best courts.
Somebody going to be on the plane next to you. Stay.
Right.
Smell like full court.
I'm like, you know who got the best court in California? Fucking NWA Airlines. Terminal X. These TSA agents, Lonnie Love and Monique. The longer this movie ran, the more I realized why she didn't get her Netflix deal.
That's terrible.
I don't get it. She was funny on The Parkers, but she is not funny in this.
She was funny on The Parkers?
I liked her on The Parkers. She was funny on The Parkers. I watched The Parkers. I can say she was funny. I laughed, but this shit here... This shit here is ridiculous. She fucking violates, bro.
She definitely sexually assaulted this man.
Because he looked like Denzel to her.
He
looked nothing like Denzel. Denzel Washington, for those who don't know. This is a bald man. This is the same dude who was abusive to Jill Scott in those Tyler Perry movies. But she, you know, violates him. Whatever. Yeah, we have a cameo by Karl Malone.
So random.
It's random Karl Malone. I guess because they're filmed, it seemed like they're in California for some reason.
Yeah.
So he says he played for the Lakers. He played for the Lakers then.
Which dates this movie so much.
Yeah, it says 2004, but was this shit set in 2002? 2002. Tom Arnold claims that he sucked at basketball in high school and nobody passed him the ball. Even though he's the only one who made it to the NBA in that school, I'm sure. About the wife being a whore. Noticing all the dudes, but at the same time Tom Arnold's noticing all the women in the thing, so they aren't right for each other, to say the least.
It's an open relationship.
Open relationship, soon to be ending. Alright, so how about how ridiculous this plane looks? This big purple Barney bedazzled looking. She has diamonds. What is it, like 40 inch rims?
This CGI monstrosity.
Yeah, it looks like something. Looks like a screensaver.
Looks like JJ the jet plane. Like,
yeah.
Black step, uncle.
Yeah, so say his black stepdad. JJ the jet plane, black stepdad is great. We meet some of the crew, Sofia Vergara, and all her glory. We meet the captain, played by Snoop Dogg, Captain Mac.
pre-Modern Family, Sophia, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Like, one of her earlier shits. Like, I think before Four Brothers, too.
Right, because she still ain't speaking English.
Yeah, she doesn't, yeah, she has any, like, all her lines are at the end. So she calls Method Man's dick little in Spanish. he says thank you.
She still managed to out-act everybody somehow.
Yeah, somehow. It's really amazing. She's the one who made it. Her and Kevin Hart. She was like, I'm going to find a check and I'm going to take it. So Snoop Dogg just playing himself throughout this whole movie.
It was not. Yeah, like you said, it was not a stretch for him.
It wasn't at all. It was like, hey, just be you, man.
Which isn't Mac like his character for the him and Mac Miller sketches too? The Mac and Devin? Mac and Devin.
Yeah, his name is Mac and Devin.
Okay, so yeah, is this like.
I believe he's Mac.
In the greater Mac verse?
Yeah, this is like after he graduated.
So all that stuff was a prequel.
Yeah, this is the sequel to Mac and Devin go to high school.
Damn.
Okay, after he got out. After he got out, he went to fly with Al Qaeda. Got his wings.
They hit us with A New Hope.
Yeah. I guess it. All right, hold on. Da-da-da-da. Okay, so he flew with Al Qaeda.
Which was ridiculous.
How about these early 2000s and all these gay jokes? You have a character named Gay Man. Played by Godfrey. Then we have an actual, the gay man of the movie.
Who sometimes answered.
Yes, played by Gary Anthony Williams of
Uncle Ruckus.
Uncle Ruckus, Boondocks fame. John Witherspoon's also in this movie of Boondocks fame. Playing a blind man. Credited as blind man.
Blind, right.
Blind man.
This man was looking over his glasses the whole movie.
Yeah. Grabbing stewardess by the ass. And fingering a potato. We'll get to that. Let's say how First Class looking like something on Cribs.
Right.
A Cribs living room. And Coach looking like a high school locker room.
They had the subway rails.
Yes, hang on.
I was like, what?
Subway bars and rails.
So you mean to tell me there's people who paid to get on this plane that aren't sitting down?
Yeah, the whole flight. A lot of the times it descends and shit, and they never show the plane.
Oh my god.
They don't never show the passengers.
Plane rides are for hours, right?
Yeah. They look like they flew from Cali to New York.
No,
it's like
sir.
Like an 8-hour flight.
No, sir.
No. I'll pass. We meet some more and Brian Hooks, who's these thrill seekers trying to get off on a plane.
Which was low-key the most compelling storyline.
Right, they're only ones with the arc. They're the only ones with
the two most fully realized characters in the movie. It's
a goddamn shame. They're the only three-dimensional character. Shit. Some more fun, yeah.
Such a progressive relationship.
Yeah, we don't trying to get down in the middle of First Class just with a blanket over him. Good luck with that. Like I said, meet John Witherspoon, who orders his quadruple cognac.
Quadruple, yeah. Immediately orders a quad.
Yeah. Hitting on the lady. Hitting on his fellow passenger lady who wants nothing to do with him. Cut to, let's say the first or, I guess it's the second, the terrorist jokes. We have a first person point of view of a man just walking through the airplane and everyone's staring at him in fear. And we don't know what he looks like. Or even if it's a man or not, I don't know what it is. And finally, when he puts his bag in his overhead, it cuts to a Middle Eastern man with a turban. And everyone on the plane cursing him out.
Like he's done something wrong.
Like he's done something already.
That was like pure Islamophobia. You could tell that's post 9/11.
Yeah, it's very, very post 9/11. Early post 9/11. You get the jokes out early. Did you notice that there were like Colt 45 wallpaper like throughout the coach?
I did not. But that is amazing.
All throughout like the coach the coach part of the plane is just Colt 45 wallpaper.
This movie was just one big Colt 45 ad.
It might as well.
And Alizé. Those were literally the only two choices.
They one scene they explained the taste
of Alizé
to white people, so they can themselves go and buy it.
One big Alizé ad.
Jesus. She have another cameo by Lala. She has her little one scene.
As most MTV movies somehow do.
Yeah, they had to throw them in there. Say a couple lines, get out of here. We have the Survivor cover safety video.
Yes, that was amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Amazing.
When she started lip syncing to Faux Beyonce.
What's the other girl's name? Angel Conwell, yeah. The other stewardess was Sophie Vergara and Gary Anthony Williams performing this Survivor cover.
A plane exclusive, yeah. Survivor
soul,
cover.
Soul plane exclusive. Jesus.
What, was that on the soundtrack?
Yeah, it had to be. It would have had to be. I would have felt cheated if it wasn't on the fucking soundtrack.
I wonder what the soundtrack for this movie is like. It's probably better, a lot better than the movie.
Probably a lot better than the movie. See, it seemed like there was no mention of a woman in his life until we meet the girlfriend. That's like when it comes.
Yeah.
When
it comes, I think I agree.
Once you see Lala talking to the girl, it's just like, oh.
She
knows him, apparently. Oh, they have history, apparently. Oh, I guess they just recently broke up.
He just learned all that on the fly.
You have to just assume everything. They trying to tell the girlfriend. Oh, then we cut to this little flashback of him trying to tell his girlfriend something important.
In the same town where the planes fly over.
Yeah, probably in the same fucking neighborhood he grew up in.
Two houses down.
Two houses down next to. He's fucking right next to the airport. Every time he opens his mouth, fucking planes go by and traffic noises. He already talks like a fucking 12-year-old girl.
Put some bass in your voice.
Put some bass in your
voice. Say it with your chest.
Say it with your chest, little ass nigga. I'm surprised this motherfucker wasn't on set saying it. Like, we can't hear you, Kevin. Is that right? He got better with time, I guess. We talked about the subway rails already. Da-da-da. Talk about Snoop Dogg speaking fluent Ebonics. He's trying to explain that we're about to leave in a few minutes.
All rizzle, my nizzles.
All rizzles and shizzles, fizzles.
We about to lizzle, so yeah. Strap izzle.
Strap izzle.
I'm pretty sure this was the time around the time Doggy Fizzle was probably.
Doggy Fizzle Televizzle was
on. We're still on.
Remember that shit. He rolling her blunt right before takeoff. Finds the hydraulics and proceeds to let the car bounce. Let the plane bounce.
Bruh, the plane had hydraulics.
He's like, this motherfucker got switches, cuz.
Proceeds to scare the shit out of all the passengers.
They never show the passengers during the hydraulics. I just wish they did one cut of people like, what the fuck is happening?
What is going on?
Why is this shit going up and down like this? Meet Gay Man, played by Godfrey, the co-pilot, who has a very strange taste in music. Has crowds, apparently.
Well, that music, he was playing Afrobeats.
African music.
So it was Afrobeat. He was ahead of his time.
Yes, Snoop Dogg takes that shit out. Quit saying Styles P. And the plane takes off. Seemingly with no problems. So far, so good. But cut to in the air. This nigga Snoop Dogg afraid of heights. This nigga sweating profusely. Saying, I'm afraid of heights, cuz.
Oh, but before that, they had the bathroom scene.
Oh, with
D.L. Hughley.
D.L. Hughley.
And Salt and Pepper.
Another, I don't want to say he's not funny. But in this goddamn movie, in this movie that he didn't have nothing to work with.
What movie gave D.L. Hughley something to work with?
I'm saying, what? Kings of Comedy? That's, all, He had a show afterwards, right? Or yeah. Before or after, or during.
I couldn't answer that. Yeah.
But he's there. He's the bathroom attendant. He made sure to hire a bathroom attendant so no one gets stuck in the fucking bathroom. Tom Arnold has to go. He gives him a little white man adapter. Just another little tidbit of race humor. The tight asses.
Before that, they had a scene with Ryan Pinkston that I just couldn't let go, where he was rapping along with his headphones saying, hit him with a bat.
Yeah, hit him with a bat.
Hit him with a bat. I'm going to hit him with a bat. Great. I don't know who he was listening to.
Yeah. Great Ryan Pinkston of punk fame.
Like, what rapper was that?
Yeah, that was some...
That was some early Eminem.
That was some Limp Bizkit or something. Okay, let's have the wife, Mrs. Honky, reading this porno mag while Tom Arnold was going and selling these. This porno mag with this male model that she's just obsessed with. At one point, Kevin Hart says he has a dick like a fire hose. He might as well let her go.
Let it go, dog.
Just let it go. And she's never seen after that.
For the rest of the movie, right?
Never seen, so she's obviously busy. Okay. And, so we have Gary Anthony Williams explaining Alizé and Colt 45 to the white family. He says, the Colt 45 will make you wake up in your own juices or something. And nasty. You have the, the dinner scene.
Oh my God. Where they proceeded to share Popeyes throughout
the coach.
Throughout coach. He was passing boxes. Take two pieces and pass it down.
Yeah, like take one thigh or take a leg and a wing. Then pass it back. Share your napkins.
What?
I think somebody tries to take one and she smacks him on the hand. Like, don't be greedy. Shit is ridiculous. But up in first class, they have some pretty good food. They have the filet mignon and a baked potato.
They had to be some good baked potatoes.
This had to be the best baked potato. This nigga John Witherspoon probably gets his smells mixed up or something, but he smells a pretty lady sitting next to him. Proceeds to go down, or no, proceeds to finger this potato. We'll just say it like it is. He's fingering this potato in front of everybody in first class.
I'm still unclear on what happened exactly.
He's moaning and groaning as if he's really figuring. Oh. Well, why is he moaning? if he's doing the fingering, why is he moaning? But he proceeds.
That scene is amazing right now. Yeah. Now this is acting.
Yeah, best actor in the movie. Kind of he's I think he looks like he busts it while he's sitting down. Has to go to the bathroom, clean himself off.
First class is horrified.
Horrified, yeah. This blind man just had an orgasm in front of everybody.
One of my witnesses with a potato.
Goes to the bathroom to see D.L. Hughley.
Did they write that on the paper?
Hey, what?
that scene, was it written out? I hope they came up with that on the day of shooting.
Bozinga and whoever.
Yo, I want to see the script.
Right, yeah, look that shit up later.
It's probably burned.
Okay, get rid of all copies. This movie doesn't exist. Puts his finger in D.L. Hughley's towards his face and he goes stinky pinky.
Is that cilantro?
Yeah. And the only way you got stinky pinky is you sit next to Mrs. Potato Head. It's a pretty funny joke. Like about one.
He didn't have a lot to work with, as you said. Yeah.
We got back to the thrill seekers. Some more trying to get off with her dude. This is the belt sex scene where she puts the belt around his neck, trying to get off, slapping him with it, slapping him with the end of the belt and choking him. I don't get, well, they're the only ones who have a beginning and end, really. A clear beginning. Okay, and this is something that bothered me. When the stewardess brings old girl.
Just that bothered you? Oh, no.
There were other things. But when the stewardess brings the daughter into the meet the captain, mm-hmm. What 18-year-old wants to meet a captain? Wants to meet a captain of the plane they're driving just because it's their fucking birthday?
None.
Not a single one.
Absolute zero.
Unless you're fucking six. they just randomly knew it was her birthday? Or did she say, hey, I want to meet the captain? Can I?
It's my birthday.
It's my birthday. I'm 18.
Well, you know what we do to birthday girls.
You know what we do to birthday girls.
On NWA Airlines. And
we pimp them out. We let the rest of the plane know that she's hot and ready. Like a fucking Little Caesar pizza.
Oh my god.
We have like some jocks and other dudes run to the plane. The young ho.
Which is my question. How many people are on this plane?
And where were they running from? Because they were already close to the back.
Teams.
Yeah.
And didn't they have priests run out at some point?
Yeah, the gay man called it. The Catholic priests come out of nowhere. Like,
where are all these teams of people at?
Yeah, because at first they thought it was just the honkies for all the white people. But the Catholic priests was like, we're
here too.
We're here too.
Deep.
We're waiting for the gay man call. Goddamn shame. We got to the club. We see Big Boy and original OG 2004 Big Boy and all his heaviness. Hey, looking great. Yeah, underage drinking.
That was in my notes too. Underage drinking.
Underage drinking. This 18-year-old girl gets a free drink from the captain.
I guess it's on some like international.
Oh, if you're high enough in the air.
Airlines.
If you're high enough in the air, there are no laws. I guess.
She's underage.
I mean, they're flying over America, so
the whole plane was just cool with it.
They flew over to Japan, maybe, but they're flying. They stayed inland. Okay. How about the nightclub on the top of the plane?
Yes, that was insane.
I haven't been on any jumbo planes before. it's usually always been...
Certainly not ones made of CGI.
Yeah. I've been on a few Southwests in my day. But a fucking full... She had like 3 or 4 layers.
That giant-ass club, that can't be aerodynamic. Which was why the plane was just so ugly.
Yeah. It's weird shaped.
Like, this shit should not fly.
Yeah, it's like it's too heavy. It almost looked too heavy.
Somebody gonna be on it. Actually, okay. We had several, engineers from Boeing.
Fuck out of here! You should have had some comedians write your goddamn movie. You see, go back to the pilots. You see Snoop Dogg taking his mushrooms, but I tell him it's for crabs. He tells him to fuck off, pretty much.
I like how the engineer guy, the third pilot guy, was in there playing 2K the entire movie.
Yeah, he's just there.
He's just back there, just got an online game going.
Yeah, that's what it has, the gay man called. We just got to take a leak. We have, this is their attempt at a gay joke with this gay man to the front. We have Gary Anthony Williams playing a gay man in the movie. He turns around excited. Then we see sprints of people. There were clearly transsexuals, Catholic priests, and other men dressed flamboyantly. This was early 2000s humor. So, you know, they're like, just throw it in there. We see Terry Crews. It's not really a cameo. He's security, giving bro a hard time. Tom Arnold a hard time.
He had a lot of security roles, and wasn't he doing that in White Chicks too?
No, White Chicks he was like a basketball player.
Oh, okay,
but I know he originally was security for Ice Cube before he got on the Friday.
Huh.
Huh. I read that in an interview. Like he used to fuck around and be like, hey man, I should do this, or let me do this scene or whatever the fuck. And Ice Cube was like, hey bro, just watch the door. Like during next Friday. And then when Friday the next came along, he put him on. So that's a little FF fun fact. We see Lil Jon and the East Side Boys, Yin Yang Twins, and Benny Boom filming a video.
The whole Crunk Juice album.
The whole, yeah, they performing the whole Crunk.
Just came to the inaugural flight.
Okay, Kings of Crunk and Crunk Juice album.
Just came to fly across the nation. Yeah. Which is nowhere near Atlanta, but they all made it.
Yeah. That is all.
It's a very southern music.
Yeah. With four
musical choices,
five Atlanta rappers.
They had Jaquan playing in the nightclub.
Shit, like, Styles P was over while they were no LA. They could Snoop didn't want to drop him a line or nothing.
Well, he had the intro song, I think, or that.
Yeah, I think the intro and outro.
Yeah, the intro and outro.
Okay, look, some original original soul playing music.
But this had to be around the same time he recorded. What was it? Need for Speed. Wasn't he on one?
Oh, yeah.
Because he had a line that was in the song that was the same line from Need for Speed. It was like drifting, swifting.
I don't know exactly what it was. I think Need for Speed 2, I think.
Yeah, it's the writers on the Star Trek.
Yes.
He had the same line. I'm like, this got to be that same Snoop era where he just couldn't. He was on everything. He could do no wrong.
Yeah. Still can't.
Much
love to Snoop Dogg. It's been around my whole life.
Remember Snoop Lion?
Snoop Lion, yes. I watched Reincarnation. It's a pretty alright documentary. I won't shit on it right now. We see after Tom Arnold has his little thing with Terry Crews, you see him at the bar drinking alone. Kevin Hart comes up to him and explains teabagging.
That's in my notes.
Explains the teabagging.
Because I was like, this is a scene here. There's another scene I wanted. Did they write this down? Like, is there a script with these words in it?
I feel like they were just like, Kevin Hart, be funny. just be funny here. Explain teabagging. Let's see. Oh. You want to talk about the next scene where Snoop and Mess smoking?
My favorite scene in this movie.
Smoking in the cockpit.
This is my favorite scene.
Nigga say, what he's like, we high as fuck. Oh, no, he's like his baby mom giving him fucking around with his child support.
Saying he being extorted. And then he goes, if I crash this plane, she won't get shit. Watch this.
The plane fucking drops out of the sky.
Hard bank to the left with the whole plane.
This is goddamn shame. Everybody in the plane is freaking the fuck out. Messing man don't know what to do. He's sitting.
He was still smoking the whole time, though.
Shaking, but still smoking. He's like, I don't know what's about to happen, but I'm going to be high when it happens.
Oh, man.
Okay, so. Okay, I think he leaves after this. This is when Method Man leaves, and Snoop Dogg's in there by himself, and he's about to take that one last mushroom, and he dies.
Dies! His wholesale.
He is dead for the next fucking...
The rest of the movie to
the very last scene. He is dead.
He literally went full Weekend at Bernie's. Like.
Yeah. The whole the Weekend at Bernie's scene. When the fucking thrill seekers come in asking can they fuck in the cockpit. Snoop Dogg's lifeless body is floating with the turbulence.
Because he disengages the autopilot because he was so high that he thought he was cutting on the autopilot again.
Jesus Christ. They realize he's dead. They let the rest of the crew know. When Kevin finds out from his girlfriend, he goes and says, oh, don't worry about it. We have Gay Man. Gay Man's a great pilot. I hired him. I trust him. They go find a Gay Man in a hot tub with some ladies. He gets excited. Some gals. Gets excited to, that's his turn to fly, and he dies. He's dead. Snoop Dogg is kind of dead. This nigga, gay man, is dead.
Slips, falls, dies. Two dead pilots in less than 10 minutes.
What the fuck are they going to do? They have two dead people.
I like how many times they said the line, "The captain is dead."
Yeah.
That was great to me.
Like, what do you mean the captain is dead? I'm telling you, the captain is dead. But what do you mean the captain is dead?
I mean, the captain is dead.
When while they're trying to figure out what to do, Method Man grabs Kevin with his parachute and says, hey, fuck these people.
My next favorite scene, thanks to the boys.
Yeah, if you've seen the boys, you'll see the humor in Method Man just leaving the plane.
Spoiler alert.
That's funny. Okay, then we have Kevin Hart explaining that earlier flashback to his girlfriend once he realizes he needs to fly the plane.
I just don't understand. Okay, is the plane a metaphor for his life?
were they going that deep? Were they trying that? I don't know if the writers tried that hard.
You gotta take control.
You gotta take control of your life.
Your life. By steering the plane. Hey. I'm just trying to find some meaning in this cross-country flight.
Yeah. He explains the flashback, saying that he broke up with old girl because he didn't want to hold her back. Yada, yada, yada.
Because, like, in my notes, I got, he confesses his love for Giselle? Like, what is that scene?
Yeah. He says pretty much, I sacrificed our relationship because I love you. And she's like, okay. She's okay with it.
She says, okay, land the plane.
Land the plane, please. I get that shit.
That's cool. Please. Go land the plane, because we spent a lot of time talking.
Okay, this 10-minute story, we've been falling.
Pilots have died. We don't know how long Snoop Dogg was sitting in this cockpit. The whole time, this plane has apparently just been coasting with the autopilot off.
He's just over middle America. I wonder what the fuck's happening.
Like, they had the nicest jet stream or something, because how did this plane not crash?
Yeah, so he has to land a plane. He has really no help except for, I guess, Method Man. But just him. He calls the people. He's on the communicator trying to reach the towers to get help to land a plane. They pretty much cut him off once they realize it's the black plane. More racism jokes.
They were out to get this plane.
Yeah. They were like, the black one. Oh, no.
They put him on hold. No, don't hang up.
Now, what's up with all the main characters in this cockpit? At one point, it's like 7 people in this fucking cockpit. Monique, Tom Arnold, Sophia.
I like how Monique came in and said she wanted to ride the black box.
That's what I'm saying. She's not funny. I feel like she thought that was funny. I really don't think that they wrote that because it doesn't make sense.
I don't know how you would do that, and I'm pretty sure you'd still die.
You're gonna die a horrible death.
The box is indestructible. But you aren't.
She thinks a floaty in there or something. Or I'm understanding her logic. So we have Sofia Vergara comes in and helps by recreating a fuck session she had with an old pilot boyfriend, I guess.
She knows the entire dash of the plane. Yes. Like in reverse.
In reverse. Her back must be turned or her face must be face down. Poor Sofia Vergara. I'm so glad her career turned out better than
how it started. It can only go up from there.
Yeah, it can only go up, yes. 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 Thanks. We're so thankful for Modern Family. Lonnie Love using the phone when the plane descends. Also with Kevin Hart getting control of the plane. This man who's never flown a plane before. somehow
lands
a plane
perfectly
in Central Park.
I thought they was gonna pull like a Sullenberger and just land it on the river. Like, yeah. Nah. Just coast that bad boy into the Hudson.
Nah, Tom Hanks won't fly in. Kevin Hart. The short motherfucker.
I'll do you one better. Central Park. Which is... There's no way, right?
It's. I mean... only Central Park... only references I have are Spider-Man games. And I'm pretty sure no fucking plane can land anywhere in that goddamn park. Especially that no giant jumbo...
He killed 90 people who were in the park.
Yeah, night, like, yeah, yeah. He's definitely going to try it.
Like, a bunch of homeless people died.
Yeah. Shit, they stole his fucking tires in the end.
It's retaliation for Dirty Mike and the Boys.
Dirty Mike and the Boys. Yes, yes. Said, plane lands in Central Park. Kevin gets the girl back because reasons.
She saw that he landed the plane and just takes off the ring, an engagement ring?
An engagement ring to
another man. Throws it.
She throws off her engagement ring and throws him the panties.
He's like, yeah, fuck this.
Fuck that. Fuck that guy.
He can't land a plane.
He didn't save my life. He didn't break up with me and then save my life the next year or whatever the fuck.
Next year. Was it a year?
I don't know.
He built that airline in a year, that's still amazing.
That's a man, something had to
like the Tony, I feel like Tony had, Stark of airplanes.
Time had to have passed, because like I said, $100 million, you're not getting a goddamn terminal and so a what, and
he,
a plane.
It was like maybe he invested, smart investments and then an airline.
He invested in Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles and then he was like, I'll use you for the food to my terminal.
And several Colt 45 and Alize sponsorships.
Jesus Christ. We'll put Colt 45 on all of the wallpaper and shit. So we have... So after they land, we have to do one more gay joke. With John Witherspoon and Gary Anthony Williams. Where he says, oh, you smell nice, or whatever.
You gotta get the two stars of Boondocks one more time.
One more time. They were about to do something big. Was Boondocks out in 2004?
I think. It might have been in like season one.
Like just starting maybe. Probably. 2004, I was 13. So 13, that's like 8th grade.
Sounds a lot like
Boondocks. Yeah. Because I think season two was like around my freshman year. So yeah, that sounds about right. Sounds about right. After they land, they go back to the roof of the plane for one more final party because it's like, fuck it.
Why would we get off this awesome party plane?
Yeah, we're in Central Park.
Even though we're in New York and we just had a traumatic landing.
Jesus. I feel like I'm starting on the airline. How much does it cost to start an airline? About $50 million for one plane. The larger jets are like $300 million. So you're trying to tell me this man got $100 million and somehow acquired a super jumbo jet and his own terminal and a full staff for his terminal. Nah, I don't see it, but fuck it. It's a movie. what's his name? Bozinga wrote a real classic here. Chuck Wilson. Michael Jackson joke with the white boy. Yes, we have to do a little. No. We have to do a little. Where they are now when the movie's over, what they're up to. Like the Gertrude from the Sandlot who ran away with the 60s. But you have Ryan Pinkston. What's it?
Ryan Pinkston.
Pinkston. He became a video director. Apparently, he did a video for Michael Jackson. It was never seen again, according to narration. You know, he had to throw his Michael Jackson jokes because he was the butt of everyone's joke in full force in the early 2000s. We find out that Snoop Dogg didn't actually die.
Hooray.
He was just, but he was robbed of his merchandise and left in the back of a plane. And everyone lives happily ever after for the most part. And now...
Perfect Hollywood ending.
Perfect Hollywood ending. Now, this is the the part you've been waiting for. Is this a good movie? Would you recommend this movie? I wouldn't recommend this movie to anyone. You don't need to watch it. If you want to watch a funny Kevin Hart movie, watch Jumanji. Or fucking watch Paper Soldiers. Watch anything else other than this. The comedians aren't funny. And it's like all comedians.
That's what's so
like you have the
weird about it.
You have Monique, a quote-unquote queen of comedy. D.L. Hughley.
Samoa is too, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, Samoa's a queen of comedy too. I don't think Lonnie Love was the other security TSA agent, but she's funny. She's been in shit.
Yeah, I like Lonnie Love.
Tom Arnold's all right, but I mean,
he hasn't really been, a draw to me.
Yeah, like ever. Yeah, since fucking True Lies is the only thing I remember. True Lies and maybe Cradle to the Grave. As far as that goes.
And even then, you watching it for, like, the people around him.
Yeah.
Like, he's just, like, there.
He can crack a joke or two when he should leave.
Make a face.
Yes. But no, I wouldn't recommend this movie. Would you recommend this movie?
If you were trying to see how bad it is, then yes. Like, if you watch it knowing it's bad, it becomes hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, as far as quality, no. I probably wouldn't watch it for enjoyment, like, ever.
I don't plan on watching this movie again.
like never again?
Like, if I don't have to, I don't really want to. I don't see myself winning. I don't see myself choosing to watch Soul Flame.
There's many other movies I could watch.
I could watch, yeah, with these same actors, I can just watch something else, and I would have a better time. A better 2 hours. The party is nonstop, as they say. Jeez. There's an unrated version. I can't imagine what that's like. Can't imagine the jokes they allowed in that one.
Oh my god. What if it's better?
What if it's better?
Probably not.
I don't want to.
How much better can it get?
Yeah, I mean, if you sprinkle gold on shit, still shit. Still shit, right? And that was Soul Plane. Thanks for listening to Last Night I Watched. This was a fun one. Once again, this is the Marvel Fiend. I'm here with my main man, Easy.
Yo, yo.
And we'll catch you guys next time.